Hello and welcome to The Property Exchange, your guide to the latest news, views and opinions in residential property, with Winkworth, with you every step of the way in the property market. Your host is writer and commentator Anne Ashworth.
Hello and welcome to the Property Exchange podcast. In this episode, we're looking at how good schools are now having an even bigger impact on local house prices than before. For many home buyers, good schools are key to the attraction of an area, particularly in cities and suburbs. But there's even more focus on this in this general election year. Labour is pledging to impose VAT on private school fees if it takes power, which is leading some families to reconsider their education plans. There's a new interest in properties close to outstanding state primary schools, with some families prepared to pay only for secondary education. So, what impact is this having on prices in such neighbourhoods, and how can families best plot their way into the catchment area of a school that will, they hope, provide their child with the very best start in life? Could homes close to schools without a great reputation be really blighted? As an example of how these trends are playing out, we'll be looking at what's happening in one particular locality, Farnham in Surrey. I'm joined by Dominic Agace, Chief Executive of Winkworth, by Henry Griffin from Winkworth Farnham, and also by Melanie Sanderson, Managing Editor of the Good Schools Guide. Welcome to all of you. Now, Dominic, we know that house hunters have always been focused on locations with good schools, but just how much has this moved up a gear in light of Labour's policies on that?
So I think, as you said, it's always been a big driving factor, and you've seen premiums for those in the right side of the street to fall into the right catchment area over those on the other side of the street. And that's always been the case. But I think you're beginning to see changes come into focus now. I think there's a great concern amongst those who are either were looking to put their child through private school or have their child at private school. So I think at this point, you know, those that there are two camps. The ones that have their child in private school obviously will probably sell a kidney in order to keep them there. So, you know, you're seeing people beginning to manoeuvre, I suppose, and that's probably downsizing in order to try and release some funds to cover potential increase in costs through the VAT charge. So that is happening, and obviously it's very much of the chatter amongst parents about this. I think the other camp is those, you know, who are looking at the sort of child's education going forward, and I think people are still, you know, people are talking about it. I don't think those actions have started to happen because clearly, you know, we're not there yet. Although it does seem as though it will come to be. So I would expect that trend to start should Labour get into power. You know, then I would expect to see people start to make that move and try and invest perhaps what they would have put into school fees into getting into the right catchment area. And therefore, you know, you might see that stretch, that premium stretch for the right catchment areas.
Premium stretch, the phrase of the summer. So you mean that there's now a really large discernible premium on houses on a road in the catchment for a good state primary?
I think it's people talk about 10% has sort of been an average. Some areas it's more than that. I've heard of, you know, 20% premiums for the, you know, the grade A, you know, Ofsted school. You know, people do desperately want to get into those, and buying the house in the right location is the way to do that. So there's already a premium. I think, you know, you can see that growing because, you know, I suppose in one part it releases some monies we're going to be put towards school fees, and you know, the other way around to give your child the best start is to get to the right school. So invest that in property, and you give your kid the best chance.
Is it having a big impact on rents? Say, if you've got some rental properties on a street in a catchment area,
I think it's, again, it's a demand, but I mean, it's, I think the it's still to come, I suppose, is what I'd say. So the change from the historic trend of always wanting to be in the right catchment area and that having a premium is there. I think people are working it out. I think it's interesting with Henry here, you know, one of the decisions people make is, you know, moving to the country. And that is moving to places with good local schools where they still connect into London, you know, or moving to the country where they can perhaps get more for their money for their property and then still afford the increased in private schools. So there are loads of implications of it all. And I think there's a lot of concern and anxiety out there when people are trying to run through the different options and how they can make it, because it's not, you know, obviously stating the obvious, people, it's not just 1 year of increased costs. You know, people have been trying to save their money to ensure that they can, once they commit to it, they can commit for the duration. And if that is added, you know, multiplied by 20% up for 10 years, then, you know, that is a game changer for everyone. So everyone is looking at all these options, and I think it will have implications across the property market.
Do you also discern premium stretch, as I said, phrases of the summer, in areas near a good state secondary?
Yes, I think it's the whole way through. I mean, I think the first step that you find people doing is they look to focus on secondary school being private. So they'll drop the commitment to the first, you know, primary schools, and, you know, and pass that by, and with a view that if they can pay for the, you know, the 12 to 18 era, that's a sort of compromise, I suppose, to get a blend, or the word of the era, the hybrid version of private school. So you know, that's the first step, and a lot of people have been making that anyway, because, you know, private school fees have been going up significantly every year. So a lot of that is already happening, and I suppose that will be part of the compromise, or it'll be take that away from people, and people will go for you know, good catchment areas for secondary schools.
Now, my final question to you is, we've been discussing schools. Has there ever been a time in your career when so much stress was put on the closeness of a property to a good state, primary, and perhaps also a secondary?
I think... No. I mean, they're costs in all directions, aren't they? I mean, we're talking about VAT, but we're also talking about increased costs. So if you're in a house in a, you know, in anywhere really, you know, your mortgage has gone up significantly. And if you're, you know, your three things you're trying to do is save some money for retirement, give your kid the best shot at education, and have a home to live in that, you know, that they can have their own room in, ideally, and, you know, have space to play with their friends. So all three of those are affected at the moment. So I think there's a big squeeze, and it's causing, you know, it will cause a bit of stress. And it's interesting to see, as I said, there's sort of the demand in certainly in London property market. You look at the houses in different areas, and perhaps the luxury element of an area, so the sort of premium houses, are struggling a bit more now, because people are going for the, if you like, every area has your house with a premium attached to it for a certain street, and every area has houses that are just, you know, perfectly good, lovely houses. But people are now, those are, budgets are dropping to the sort of, you know, in London, say that's 1 to 2 million, which are 1 to 3 million, and as opposed to three to upwards. And so people are pushing at that sector. So actually what you're seeing is a lot of activity amongst those houses, because you've got the people who are previously in the 3+ market who are trying to trim their costs to adapt to the current environment and things like school fees. And you've got obviously those you know, moving up. So that area of the market is very busy, but above that, it's, you know, they're more available than they have been for a long time, and it's a bit stickier.
Somebody's tuning in to us and they've just had a baby. Tell me what strategy they should adopt now to get themselves in pole position for a house in a catchment area for when their child starts school.
Well, I suppose I think that I believe in, you know, that actually it's going to be a longer, you know, if this things don't go away once they're brought in. And so this is going to be a long term trend if that is brought in. And so if you think that premium for being in the right streets is going to stretch or grow, then, you know, then go quicker at it, really. So getting, you know, making that move to get into the right place, you know, beat the rush, all those sort of words, you know, it feels as though the demand will increase. And so it's worth taking a step, you know, earlier than perhaps you might be considering.
So you're a sleepless first-time parent, but you've also got that responsibility.
Yes, there's a lot going on, isn't there? But it's always the way, isn't it? There's a stereotype of everything goes on at once when you have a baby, having just had one. I can tell you that.
So, Henry, you're a family looking for good schools. You think Farnham in Surrey, because you've heard what a great place it is and what great schools there are. Can you tell us more about your neighbourhood?
Well, for one, we have an exceptional mixture of schools in Farnham, and I think the lengths that people will go to get their children into the schools are quite unbelievable. We had a set of clients recently that were based in a village called The Sands, which is only 5 minutes drive from Farnham, and critically it was outside of the Weydon catchment. So they came to Winkworth Farnham, appointed our lettings director to find a tenant for their property. And then she had to source a house, a rental property, for them to rent within the Weydon catchment. And I think that just goes to show that they were willing to move just 5 minutes down the road simply for that school.
So, Weydon, this must be some amazing school.
Weydon is fantastic. According to the Sunday Times Parent Power, it is currently the sixth in England and the number one in Surrey. So quite a driver there.
You've got a lot of schools and you say there's a real rich mix of different establishments. Can you run us through that?
Well, I think the good thing about Farnham is there's a very good blend and mix of state schools as well as private schools. We've got currently 18 outstanding state schools in our Farnham patch, and also a very good blend of private schools, namely Frensham Heights, Edgeborough, and we've got Morehouse as well, which is specifically for learning difficulties. So a lot of people will move, you know, hundreds of miles simply for that school. So there's a nice blend.
So it's got the kind of schools that really every place should have, but sadly doesn't. What is the price of admission then into the place that offers all these educational opportunities?
Well, it certainly governs a premium. Currently, I think the average price for a detached property in Farnham is about £850,000. But within certainly the catchments to Weydon and South Farnham, which recently was number one, according to the school guide, in March 2024. Now, in those catchments, we're looking at probably £1 million or £1.25 million. So it's an extra perhaps 20-25%. You know, percent just to be in that catchment area.
The commute to London, what's it like?
Fairly easy. I got the 8:28 from Farnham this morning. That's the quickest at 52 minutes. And then the average is 55 minutes, so fairly easy.
Great town centre, plenty of nice shops, supermarkets.
Independent shops. We've got a lot of craft heritage there, Georgian architecture, coffee shops. It's a bustling place. I think it's amazing when you come, certainly on a Saturday and Sunday, and it's busy. You know, the high street is packed full of people enjoying themselves. So it's very nice to see.
So, sounds like a great place to live. Melanie, thanks for joining us again on the Property Exchange podcast. Things are a little different since we last spoke. Have the Labour plans for VAT on school fees changed the landscape? Or is it a threat that many parents aren't yet taking all that seriously?
Well, I think there are a few things to bear in mind about this potential change to VAT arrangements that may happen. At this point in time, there's a lot of narrative, a lot of rhetoric in the media. But it's really important for parents to remember that we don't yet have any detail from the Labour Party. They may not have even started writing the policy yet. So what we don't know is if it will happen, if it does happen, when that may be, and if both of those things fall into place, exactly how they plan to execute it. So, From an educational perspective, if you're thinking about independent school for your child, one of the things that's crucial to think about is the fact that, like any business, schools all run to their own different business plans. So some are enormously well endowed, very wealthy, have lots of assets that they can monetize. Others are very much more hand to mouth, running on a shoestring budget. And what that basically means is that the way that each school absorbs or chooses to absorb or not to absorb that 20%, if indeed it happens, is going to be hugely different. So some schools may pass the whole 20% on to parents, others may absorb the whole lot, or there may be a spectrum in between. We just don't know yet. So our advice really at the Good Schools Guide is to say to parents, if you're in dialogue with a private school, whether your child is already there or whether you're looking at it, ask these questions. You know, what does your business plan look like? What's your financial model? And what do you think you are likely to do if this plan comes into play?
So your advice would be to parents, develop a strategy. Now, against this very fluid background, has there been any decline in applications for private schools and more interest, more people coming to the guide to get advice on the great state primaries?
Well, there's been lots of different research projects done into this, and we're starting to see reports genuinely of a slight decline in registrations for independent schools. So I think, yes, it's highly probable that, you know, look, if you had you were talking earlier about, you know, if you had a newborn baby and you've got 14 years of education stretching ahead of you, your average parent is probably more inclined at the moment to think, you know what, I'm just going to keep my powder dry for a few years, put them into a state primary school for years reception one and two, see how it goes, and then make some decisions from there on. Because I think, you know, the thing I would be thinking if I were a parent was, these schools are not going to be full anymore. If I want to change my mind a little bit down the line, if I start in the state sector, you know, whereas 10 years ago, you'd be scrambling for a place in a good private school, that may change. You may find yourself looking at a situation where you can quite easily get your child into the school that you want them to get into. And of course, we're looking at a declining birth rate as well, Anne. So, you know, in a way, it's possibly a few years down the line, a bit of a buyer's market.
So you've got to be alive to the opportunities. You've got a strategy, but you may be able to divert from that. That's good advice. Now, there is always an assumption that every child will prosper in an outstanding state primary. Is that necessarily the case?
At the Good Schools Guide, we don't really pay great heed to the one-word judgments of state primary schools. Of course, it's very natural for parents and for estate agents to very much hang on to those one-word judgments. But what they don't guarantee is that your child is going to make nice friends, have a sympathetic teacher, have a jolly time every day. You know, what those one-word statements really mean is that the bureaucracy is in place, that the school is ticking all the boxes that it has to tick. So no, you know, we have people on our staff who have sent their child to a school which requires improvement in London, and they've had a very lovely time there and then moved on to a really good private school later on. So I think it's important not to pay too much attention to those one-word judgments and possibly look for something with a more nuanced report of what a school is really like.
Melanie, when we were having a chat before we started recording, you told me something really interesting, that it wasn't necessarily as difficult as you think to get into a good state primary. In fact, applications may not be quite as huge as you think.
Yeah, that's right. There are some pockets of London which you might expect to be very oversubscribed when it comes to their outstanding primary schools. And the properties there are, you know, very highly priced. But if you look at, for example, between the Commons in SW11, Belleville School, which is an outstanding state primary school, a big one, but it has been for a long time, they have 150 reception places. And last year, they only had 180 people put it as their first choice on their application form. Similarly, Honeywell in the same area, they have 90 places and they only had 104 first choice applicants. So really, that ratio is pretty favourable. And we looked at also at the South Farnham Primary School, Henry. Mm. And last year, they have 90 places available. Last year, they only had 96 first choice applicants. So actually, your chances of, if you move to live near these schools, your chances of getting in are actually pretty good.
So there's always a lot of talk about the educational lottery. Mm-hmm. And all parents are players in that. And you shouldn't necessarily put all your money on one particular choice. You should actually explore all the opportunities.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I we would always advise parents as well that, once you make a decision, it's not for life. It doesn't have to be for the next 14 years. If it doesn't work out, you can change it. You can move. Nobody really wants to move their child's school. But I've done it. I've done it twice. If it's not working out, you change it, you fix it, and then hopefully it works out the next time. And, that could mean staying within the same sector, or it could mean a change from the independent sector to state or vice versa.
And since we're questioning assumptions here, moving your child from the home they love to another place because it's near a better school, is that always a great choice?
I think parents always do what they believe is best for their child at the time. I think any major change is fraught with risk. Even the best schools, you don't know what class your child is going to land in and what other children they're going to be surrounded by and whether they're going to get along with them or what their form teacher is going to be like. They may get somebody fabulous or they may not. So I think, that there are so many moving parts here. And one of the things that we would say to your point, Henry, about parents upsticking and moving to be near an outstanding state school.
And Henry, what's your take on that?
Well, clearly, I think perhaps parents will take a view and a compromise on certain schools. And like you were saying, Melanie, it's going to be the bigger picture. And perhaps they might change schools three or four times from 4 to 18. And I think there'll probably be a bigger shift on perhaps a state education up until perhaps 16, say, and then make the jump for the last couple of years, for the college years, into private sector, possibly.
Now, since this is all about what one former Prime Minister called education, 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 I'm going to ask you about teachers. We never forget a great teacher. Melanie, who was for you the person that you remember?
Gosh, I had an amazing A-level English teacher, actually, who had the fantastic name of Bunty Cardwell.
That is a good name.
And she taught Chaucer in a way that made it really interesting and very accessible. And she, for me, was the greatest teacher I had.
So, Bunty, you are well remembered. Over to you, Henry.
I've got another good name. My favourite teacher was a chap called Mr. Ski. And I was and still am a great sports enthusiast. And he was a PE teacher from 7 till, I think, 10 years old or 11 years old. And he loved his job. I suppose like I do. He was very inspiring. Very good teacher. Very good teacher.
And I'm just going to jump in there and say thank you to all my teachers, but particularly for Miss Young, for bringing Latin and the texts alive and making us realise that if you could understand the Romans, you could understand modern life. Well, that's just about it. Dominic, Henry and Melanie, thanks very much for joining us for this episode of The Property Exchange. Thanks for your insights and your guidance. Do subscribe and join us for next month's podcast on another hot topic in the property sector.
This has been the Property Exchange podcast. For more information, go to winkworth.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. The producer was Tom Maddox. For more episodes, make sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast provider.